late night edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston with you here. After what is a disappointing game five outcome for Grizzly fans out there, Spurs get it done at home as a lot of folks thought they would. It's kind of the norm for these series. You know, you go to game five, you play at home, you play in front of your home fans, and, you know, you're able to turn it up a notch and just get that little bit better. And that's exactly what happened in this game five. The Spurs did it 116-103 to take a 3-2 series lead and to really put the Grizzlies behind the eight ball for the rest of the series. It's now win or go home, as game six is tomorrow night in FedEx Forum. And, you know, the crowd's going to be completely crazy for that one. So let's talk about this one just for a little bit. It is late, so we can get into it more tomorrow for the Game 6 preview. But suffice to say, this once again was a game where defense really was at the forefront, and a lack of defense, particularly defending the three-point line, was paramount. That's the difference in the ball game. Spurs hit 14 threes, 14 of 28. That, do a little math on that one. Let me just do the old calculator out. And yep, that's 50%. Grizzlies allow the Spurs to shoot 53% for the game, while the Grizzlies themselves shoot 51% for the game and lose. And it's hard for the Grizzlies to shoot 51% for a game and score over 100 points and lose. Yet, because the defense was so... You know, I really hesitate to say bad, because I don't think it was out and out bad throughout most of this ball game. I think there were breakdowns, for sure. But you know, those breakdowns are critical. So yeah, I guess you'd have to say it was out and out bad, but I don't know. It wasn't. It certainly was. Just key moments, critical little errors, critical little spots where it all just kind of broke down and it all just kind of went, a little bit haywire. That's the difference in the ball game, and that's the frustrating thing, because it's stuff that is pretty. Some of it is preventable. Some of it was just one of those nights when the Spurs hit everything. Some of it is an inability to, you know, counteract stuff that, you know, is, it's stuff that you knew was going to be coming. It's stuff that you kind of had a pretty good idea that the Spurs were going to be able to do. And so that's the frustrating thing, is that you kind of knew that Manu Ginobili, we talked about it, that it was going to be hard for him to be completely horrible for an entire series. And sure enough, he's not. He comes out and plays so much better, you know, right really from the very beginning. And, you know, once he does that, then it changes kind of the way that you defend the Spurs a little bit. He now can bring that kind of Manu magic, the playmaking, the passing, those things. He can now play, and, you know, Pop can play him without worrying too much about that. And that really is exactly what happened. He was, you know, so much better, so much more effective, and it really improved the Spurs' ball movement so much, you know, when he was out there. He started hitting. Patty Mills, again, had a big night, and he hasn't always had big nights in the series. He hit tons and tons. You know, but once again for the Grizzlies, it all came down to Mike Conley. Everything comes down to Mike Conley. Mike Conley has had to do everything for the Grizzlies this series. Everything. He has been everything. And was again in this series, in this game. Excuse me. You know, I don't know how much more the guy can do. There's only so much. He's given you everything physically that he can possibly give. And you know, when he goes off the floor, it all goes to hell. It all does. Time and time again, we've talked about this. Time and time again, you know that that's the situation. You know that that's what's going to happen. And yet, when it happens every time, it's a really heavy burden. And it's a shame that we don't see the other big players, you know, particularly Marc Gasol, step up and help to shoulder, you know, some of this burden. But the drop off from Mike to Andrew Harrison is just huge. It's just huge, huge, huge. You know, especially as Mike has really upped his game for the postseason, and you know, the rest of the team really has not upped it. Hasn't upped it to that level. But the number, and I went back and, you know, kind of added this one up myself. When Mike Conley was off the floor for the Grizzlies, it wasn't much in the competitive stretch of the game. When he was off the floor for the Grizzlies, 7 minutes or so, the Spurs shot 14 of 17 from the field. That's 82%. And scored 35 points in those 7 minutes. Basically 5 points per minute. If you do a little math on that, 48-minute game, 5 points per minute, that is on pace to score 550 gajillion points. Now, it's more like 240 points, but you get the idea. It's an absolutely nuclear rate. But that's what happens. Defensively, he is critical at the point of attack. And when he's not out there, all of a sudden the Spurs get that initial penetration so much more easily, which then throws everything else into chaos, throws all the other rotations into chaos. And next thing you know, the Spurs have an absolutely wide open series of shots, and that's exactly what you saw. They hit tons of threes. You know, when Mike was out of the game, that's why the rotations kick so much, you know, sooner, and everyone's scrambling. And the next thing you know, boom, there you go. Down goes the well. That's the frustrating thing. Because the guy can only give you so much. The guy can only give you so much. And we're reaching the theoretical limits of what he can do. That stretch of time in the third quarter for Mike Conley was just what an absolute pleasure again to watch. All series long, we've seen it. And this was another example. He just picks the Grizzlies up and just refuses to allow them to be pulled away from by the Spurs. Spurs on a great run. But Mike on a personal run, just back and forth, those great moves to get around any and all defenders. Anytime they had the switch, he was so elusive and so quick getting to the basket. Then, you know, step back, hit those threes that he had to hit. He was awesome. 17 points in the third quarter alone, and the Grizzlies scored 27 as a whole. So you know how vital he was, you know, for the Grizzlies there. For the ball game, you know, he finishes with 26 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, 10 of 17 from the field. And, you know, he was minus 3 in the plus-minus, which, you know, for a game like that was pretty good. Once again, best player really on the floor, apart from Kawhi Leonard. That's the way it's been all series. Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, not good enough. Mark finishes with 17 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, but I don't think that adequately talks about how poor Mark was again defensively and how indecisive Mark was on offense. And that indecision just killed possessions time and time again. You know, Mark has to go. He has to grab it and go. He has to get after it. He has to get what he needs to get offensively. Do it quickly. Don't think about it. Just go and do it. And so often in this game, he would grab it, think about it, slow everything down, and by the time he ends up taking the shot is that much harder. You know, Mark gave up plenty of easier shots because he was just really slow in his decision-making process. Gave up plenty of good looks in the process. Not good enough. Defensively, not good enough. Making rotations that were slower. You know, not covering up for the problems that were happening out there. Not good enough. Physically not getting some rebounds in 50-50 balls that ended up being critical. You know, including a little stretch when, you know, David Lee outfights him. And David Lee is a dogged physical guy, but Mark is bigger and Mark should be stronger. And David Lee outworks him for a 50-50 ball with the game kind of in the balance. The Grizzlies had fought all the way back, got the thing down, you know, into the 4 and 5 point range. And in that sequence, when Lee gets that offensive rebound and the Spurs end up getting 3 points out of that possession, critical. Again, just that little stuff like that made a huge difference in this ball game. Because everything else, you know, was, you know, the Grizzlies were in it and, you know, certainly had fought their way all the way back. If you look at just the second half alone in this game, Spurs end up outscoring the Grizzlies 61-54. Grizzlies, again, shoot 56% in the second half alone and yet lose. That tells you where the defense was. Spurs shot 52% in there, but again, more second chance points, more offensive rebounds, able to dig those out. Didn't turn the ball over. Neither team turned the ball over in the half. But look at what happened. Marc Gasol, 3 of 6. 8 points. Zach Randolph, 0 of 0. Didn't take a shot in the second half, and Zach really was severely under par in this game. The Grizzlies have not been able to use Zach in a starting role effectively, and the Spurs have really done a really good job of defending Zach, and he has not made his presence felt. Since that pivotal game 3, it has not happened for Zach. Last two ball games has not happened for Zach. And, you know, I don't know if it's time to, you know, scrap him as a starter and go something else. I don't know, but it isn't working. And Zach, in fairly limited minutes in that second half, didn't take a single shot. Can't have that. Obviously, you can't have that. Fizdale did go to Troy Daniels for a stretch, and it worked out okay for a while. And then Daniels finally started getting broken down by Patty Mills and giving up, you know, multiple wide-open threes. Mills would sidestep, and Daniels just did not have the mobility to stick with him, and it led to Mills getting wide-open looks out there. You know, so the Grizzlies go to game 6 tomorrow night with a lot to think about. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on the pod as far as, you know, some of the adjustments, some of the things that you expect to see, you know, in that matchup. But for now, as we depart from this pod, it's one to think about. It's one to, you know, wonder what if you got just a decent performance from Marc Gasol and a decent performance from Zach Randolph, would that have been enough? Because you didn't get that. You didn't get that. The bench for the Grizzlies, I thought, you got decent performances. You got some offense from Wayne Selden in the first half that kind of kept you in the ballgame. You got some offense from Andrew Harrison. Jermichael Green, the second half, was hitting everything. Scored 11 points in the second half alone. Hit 3 threes. I thought Jermichael, by the way, before we depart, was not himself defensively, and that hurt the Grizzlies too. Jermichael was not himself defensively. That was problematic. He was real bad for a big stretch of this game. He was really, really bad defensively for a big stretch of this game. And then he kind of bailed it out a little bit on the offensive side, but he was so good in game four and just so so bad, really, in game five. And then the Andrew Harrison minutes. Yeah, I thought Andrew Harrison really, when you're watching, he didn't play all that badly, but he could not defend the point of attack. And he ends up just being, a huge negative in spite of it. You know, he took a couple really bad shots out there. Still loves that, you know, 25-footer with 20 seconds left on the shot clock for some reason. But again, he just not quite up to standard. And it showed. It always does in the playoffs. Your weaknesses are brutally exploited. And the Grizzlies have a few that are brutally exploited. Thanks again to GrizzEssentials.com/LO Grizzlies for their support of the pod. Thanks to you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more about huge, pivotal, massive game deciding, series deciding, all that stuff. Game six tomorrow night. 8:30 will be the tip-off, by the way, that has been announced. In case you didn't hear, it will be an 8:30 tip, which is more like 8:40, which means it's going to be a very, very late night down at the Forum. But I expect the crowd to be crazy, and the Grizzlies have every chance to win that game and at least force a game seven on Saturday. So a lot to talk about. We'll do that with you here on the pod. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great Wednesday, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow when you continue to be locked on Grizzlies.